It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Thursday, September 23rd, 2010. I'm John Moe. The FCC is making decisions today that could have a big impact on how you use the Internet. Tuesday, we told you about a plan to open up unused parts of the broadcast spectrum to create new online tools and faster Wi-Fi. That unused area is called white space. Here's a new term, dark fiber. Today, the FCC decides whether to approve a plan to make unused fiber optic cable, or dark fiber, available to schools and libraries. Christian Sandvig leads the Project on Public Policy and Advanced Communication Technology at the University of Illinois. He's also a faculty associate at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. Christian, why is this dark fiber just sitting there doing nothing?
Way back in the 90s, there was a lot of excitement about the growth of the Internet, and in the mainstream media and elsewhere, we heard this figure that the growth of Internet traffic was that every 100 days, the Internet traffic was doubling. Let me give you an example, though. If you were doubling the Internet traffic every 100 days from 2000, that would mean that today, every person in the U.S. would watch 38 million high-definition movies a day.
Well, I think that number would be a little bit off.
Yes, that's right. So in the 1990s and right up until 2000, you had all kinds of companies investing in fiber optic cables across the United States because they thought mistakenly that demand was going to be so high that this was going to be a high profit business. But then, as we know now, I mean, it's foolish to think that that would happen.
So dark fiber just means it's this fiber optic cable that is not being used. It's dark.
That's right. It's there, but there's no equipment on each end.
So what's the plan here to get it connected to schools and libraries? How would that work?
Well, every month on your phone bill, there's this line that you might not have noticed. It's sometimes called universal service fee. And that line is actually a way that in the United States, we set money aside to help schools and libraries have advanced communication technology. So there's a fund where that money goes. It's a big fund. It's about $2.5 billion in 2009. And previously, we could only use that money to provide broadband internet service to schools. But the idea is that maybe if we change the rules and we let schools use the money for things like dark fiber, then we might promote new kinds of internet use and much faster internet use among both the schools and the students. It could be quite a change. I mean, the dark fiber is going to give them, just as a point of comparison, I mean, I have broadband at my house, and the dark fiber could give me, if I was connected to it, something like, 125 times faster internet service than I'm getting now.
So then the students from the school have a fast connection while they're at school, but then if they're near the school, they get that at home too, and the other people in the community can access it through the school or the library, and suddenly whole towns are up and running at turbo speed?
That's right. That's just it. So the idea is that even if you're not the parent of a school-aged child, if you live near a school, there might be some way via the school's computer lab or this dark fiber for you to take advantage of this really high-speed connectivity that right now is just a $100 billion folly from the 1990s that's just sitting there.
That's Christian Sandvig. Other stories we're following at marketplacetech.org. Research in Motion, the company that makes the BlackBerry, is expected to unveil a tablet computer next week. And in other news of tiny computers that run like phones, Michael Dell of Dell Computers says his company is working on a 7-inch tablet computer that will run on the Android operating system. There are tons of servers sitting on racks at Google, Apple, IBM, all over, and they all have accelerometers on them to sense motion. Bob Friedlander is a master inventor at IBM. He has an idea to connect servers from all over the place to each other in order to detect earthquakes and warn of tsunamis.
All it takes at the server is some very light software. It's a very low-level bit of code that just intercepts the data and passes it on out the network for later analysis. We would look at having a hierarchical system of processing. If somebody bumps into a server rack or somebody bumps into a building, we want to weed that out and not spread false information. We want to take data, very quickly digest it, turn it into actionable knowledge, and get it out to first responders to help them do their job.
More information on Bob's project can be found at marketplacetech.org. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Marketplace Tech. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.